Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
It's magnetism. By the time I look in your
eye. All right, how about hour number three on a Friday? We're out here at the ABP event. ABP Austin Open. Kevin Dunn continues his vacation. Trey Elling is here with me. I'm Chad Hastings. Thanks to Brian Fitzgerald for producing back in the studio. Thanks to BK for producing earlier. Thanks to Joe and Leslie on this end of it for getting us all set up here at Craig Fields. More on the AVP coming up. And right now, though, we're going to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline to talk some NBA playoffs with Matt Moore of the Action Network. Matt, how are you?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Man, we're doing good. Glad these series got off to a start, and I'm definitely glad a couple of the games were actually close. And that's kind of what I wanted to start with you. If you're talking to Toronto fans today or you're talking to Portland fans, I think they both could make an argument, Matt, we should have won it. We should have stolen that game, and we didn't. Which one of those do you think was the most, I guess, surprising to you, or which one do you think, you know, didn't steal the game and you thought had it, and you're more surprised that they lost it?
Well, I think, you know, Toronto played really well. They probably outplayed them a little bit more. And then, you know, I thought Portland played really well, but this is how it's going to be with Portland, where even when Portland plays really, really well, they're just up against it because they all have the personnel and they're up against the Warriors. And so I think for Toronto, it's more maybe important that they lost that game, because if they had gotten a win, then they'd be in a, you know, a different position to maybe really make a push in this series. And conversely, I think with, you know, Toronto, if they don't get one in Milwaukee, they're in real, real trouble. So those are the kind of things I think are more important is, look, you know, Portland's going to lose this series. Toronto has a chance at it. So Toronto definitely needed that way more.
Right. So you think even if Portland figured it out last night, this is just too it's just too daunting for them? The matchup's too tough?
Yeah, it's 5 versus 6, or it might even still be 5. It's 5 versus 4, like whatever it is. Like, there's just no way that the Blazers are going to be able to win this series because they just don't have the personnel. Like, you know, they went 7 games with Denver, and they got some weird contributions from a lot of random dudes. And, you know, credit to them for, you know, making the most of their situation, but they're severely outgunned in this matchup.
So, Matt, what do you make of some of the performances of the big dogs on those two teams? You have Lillard with only 23 last night. Didn't feel like he was really in a rhythm. Obviously, McCollum missed some shots. I think he missed his last 5. And then you have, you know, Kawhi Leonard. I'm still baffled by 3 shots in the fourth quarter from Kawhi. What did you make of those three guys, their performances down the stretch?
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, I think most of it was Milwaukee kind of got them on edge with their transition play. If you look at the, kind of how that game unfolded, they bled over the final 3 quarters. They got out to a great start, and then they managed to hold it for, you know, the second and third. But by the fourth quarter, they just ran out of energy. And I think that Kawhi Leonard in particular, I think, was gassed. I think that he played so many minutes in the last series, and then they tried to run up-tempo in game one, which I don't necessarily think is going to work for Toronto. That really plays into what Milwaukee wants to do. Milwaukee was good. They had 35 points off a transition. That was huge in that game. So I think the Raptors need to maybe sell down a little bit more so that they've got the ability to finish the game a little bit better.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about tonight and kind of how you'd go about it if you're Coach Nurse in this situation, because clearly they're not getting taller. It feels like Milwaukee is considerably, you know, longer than they are, and I think you talked to us about that before the matchup and what Milwaukee's size can do to people. But other than that, as Toronto, you're talking about maybe work the pace a little differently. Is there anything else that you would adjust, whether it's about Kawhi, maybe it's about him in rest time or some of the other guys?
I think one of the biggest things is they've got to switch hard on the pick and pops with Brook Lopez. They can't leave Brook Lopez open. They dared Brook Lopez to beat him in game 1, and he absolutely did. the Raptors are kind of, they've decided that they're going to try and load up on Giannis and make the shooters beat them. But this Bucks team is a great shooting team. And so I'm not sure that strategy is going to work. They're going to have to balance a little bit more. I would probably mess around a little bit with the opposite, where I would want to say, okay, you know what, Giannis may get 45, but we're going to keep Middleton locked down. We're going to keep Lopez locked down. We're going to make Bledsoe and Giannis beat us off the dribble. I think that's maybe a better strategy for them going forward. And if they start switching things, they can do that.
Because Milwaukee's taking those 45 three-pointers no matter what, obviously. They shoot 25%, but it doesn't seem like they care. They're a volume team, right? They're kind of got that Rockets vibe to them where they are going to take 40 or 50 threes no matter what happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they're engineered is they've got guys that can hit from that far out. Part of it is you're trying to just apply pressure to the defense, right? If you're constantly hitting these threes from 30 feet, all right, you take a step further out and then a step further out, and then that's harder for you to help down versus Giannis, and then Giannis has a guy one-on-one, and then you get the offensive rebounds from Lopez. Like, it all kind of works together in concert. It's not just three-pointers for the sake of three-pointers. It's creating space. Like, the Rockets want to create space for Harden to manipulate the defense, and the Bucks want to create space for Giannis to run over the defense.
Talking NBA with Matt Moore of the Action Network. Download that free app today. Find out all the things they've got going on at the Action Network. On Twitter, it's at HP Basketball. And Matt, I agree with you in terms of Toronto. I really thought they had a chance to steal that one. So going to the Milwaukee side of it, is there anything for Budenholzer that you would tweak up? Is there anything you change? Because for about three quarters or so, they were outplayed. It wasn't their game. Is it just a matter of we'll set the same shots up and make them, or do you think we're going to see some changes tonight?
Yeah, this one I think you stay with. I think versus Boston, they knew that they had to switch some things. But this one, I think that they got what they wanted. Like, they had a quiet Kawhi Leonard game. Marc Gasol was having to take a lot of shots, which he's not comfortable with. They held Pascal Siakam mostly in check. But they needed to guard the baseline a little bit better. They gave up a lot of baseline drives to Siakam, and that got them in trouble. But those are, like, small things. Like, if Kyle Lowry is going to score 30 points in this series and you're still within striking distance, you're good. So I think if you're the Bucks, you're going in, you're saying, you know what, we beat them when we beat them by eight when we didn't make shots. If we do make shots, we're going to roll. I think until the Raptors make an adjustment, you just keep hammering them the same way.
And on to Lowry, I was going to ask that too. I mean, 30-point performance, is that something – it's good news for Toronto, but again, they waste it and they don't win the game. Is that sustainable for you? Like, from what you've seen from Lowry these last couple games, is this a big awakening? What do you think you can expect from him tonight and moving forward?
No, I don't think it's sustainable. I think he'll probably take a step backwards. You know, he could be good, but not probably that good. He was great in that game. And it's also, like, his energy level and effort was so high on every single play. Like, he was playing like it was a game seven. I think he knew how important it was to try and get that first one. I'm not sure what he's going to be able to bring tonight. We'll say, like, if he has a big series, and that's great for them, that sets them up well. But they'll probably guard him a little closer. They'll dare him. Because the part is you're trying to see, like, hey, will Lowry actually beat us? And he almost did. And so I think now you guard him a little bit differently. Bledsoe, I think, got the message in the third quarter and started attacking him in transition more. I think you're going to see a lot of that, is wearing him down gradually by attacking him in transition.
Matt, what do you make of the Kevin Durant story right now? We talked about it today. It seems like there's more and more discussion of that this is going longer than a lot of people maybe thought. He's out for sure in games 3 and 4. Is it dumb if I ask you, has he worn that uniform for the last time? Like, is that stupid to ask?
Yeah, I think it's not stupid, but I do think that, look, there, the finals is – a full 2 weeks from today, or from yesterday. So you've got 2 full weeks for him to recover. They don't need him in this series. They never needed him in this series. They're going to win this series without him. And then they're going to have 2 weeks to get him ready versus the Bucks, and so or the Raptors. And so in that scenario, like, you're still fine. I think that he'll be back. You know, the most I would imagine is, like, maybe if it really stretches on game 3 of the finals, you keep him at home and then have him play in game 3 in Oracle if it's versus the Bucks. But that's really the only scenario that I could see. I expect him to be ready to go if they need him. That's what I would say a lot of this is yeah, KD's out unless they really need him.
So, Matt, give me the basketball breakdown on Kevin Durant with and without – this team without and with Kevin Durant, because I keep hearing people say – that Golden State's more fun to watch, that it's more entertaining to watch when he's not there. He is a super athletic freak. He's an incredible player. He's in an argument for maybe the best player in basketball right now. Do you agree with that assessment? And if so, what is it? What is it that changes so much when he's off the floor?
This is what's fascinating about it. Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. He's 7 feet tall, a 50-40-90 shooter, great rebounder. He's a marvelous passer. He's the second best passer on the Warriors. He's great defensively. Like, he's incredible. He's good at everything. They don't need him. They just don't. They do not need the best player in the world. That's why him going there was so ridiculous. Without him, they get back to what makes them the Warriors: ball movement, relocation, Steph threes, Klay Thompson coming off a screen. They play with more urgency. The difference is that the floor for the Warriors is a lot higher with Durant. Oh, this isn't working. The shots aren't falling. Hey, let's give it to the 7 foot guy that's a sharpshooter and just let him go cook somebody for three quarters, and we'll win. Without him, they all have to engage more. They all have to work harder. They all have to play with more pace and explosiveness, and that's what makes them more fun. The reality is that Kevin Durant makes the Warriors better. They just don't need him to make them better.
Man. So one of our guys on the air today threw out a great question about, of those four guys, of the main three guys that were there and then Kevin Durant, if you can keep three of the four, what do you do? After watching last night, am I silly to say I'll take those three guys and let Durant do whatever he's going to do?
I don't think it's bad. I think if Durant wants to come back, you figure it out, because the problem is, like, everyone's kind of eyeing Draymond Green, who's going to be up for a huge new contract, not this summer, but next summer. Like, Klay Thompson wants to come back, you re-sign him. He's, you know, one of the top five best shooters that we've ever seen in NBA history. You got Curry and Klay, so you got the foundation of the backcourt. If KD wants to come back, then sure, you try and add somebody else. Even if KD leaves, though, don't be surprised if things go differently with Draymond as he starts to get older and slides, and he had to get in shape for what he's doing in these playoffs. He's having to do more and more to catch up as he gets older, and that's only going to get worse. Also, that ownership group is not going to be complacent. Like, they're going to pursue the biggest free agents in the world. If Anthony Davis hits the market, the Warriors are going to make a pitch for Anthony Davis. That's just what they're going to do, and they're going to try and figure out a way to make that happen. That's how they operate. But if you've got to keep three, like, if you have to keep Draymond, Klay, and Steph, you're still going to be, in my opinion, the best team in the West and probably the title favorite next year.
Talking with Matt Moore of the Action Network as the NBA playoffs continue. Again, tonight it's Eastern Conference Finals Game 2. Obviously, Matt, there's a lot of Spurs fans in our area that they're not exactly loving watching this this Kawhi Leonard show here. Tell me what you think the future is for Kawhi Leonard. How do you think his story is going to play out over the next season or so?
I mean, the longer the playoff run goes, the more chances the Raptors have to get him back. But there's still a strong sense around the league that at least he's going to test the market and see what's out there, and teams will be able to pitch him. Like, the Clippers are still the team that is most commonly mentioned with Kawhi. They have geared a lot of what they're doing to make space for a player like him. He fits with their roster. It gives him the market that his camp wants versus what he wants. But it's also not the Lakers, so it's not the zoo. Like, there's all these ways in which that makes a lot of sense. But I think the more that the Raptors win and the more that he has those moments and experiences, the more likely it is that maybe he's convinced to stay. The reality is that if you wanted to win, you wouldn't leave the Spurs, and he did. So now we just kind of now wait and see, because these decisions may not be based on what we consider to be the most rational.
Yeah, that's a great point. We talked about it earlier. Portland missing 8 of their last 9 shots last night. I think McCollum missed his last 5. As we get to Game 3 tomorrow, when Portland, let's assume it's close again, and Portland has big possessions late in that game, Matt, and now they'll be at home in Game 3. What would you do differently? What would you construct differently, or did they just miss shots that you liked in Game 2?
I think they probably – the biggest thing that I wish they would do is they need to get somebody the ball in the pinch post, like Aminu or Evan Turner, and run the guys off a screen off ball. When Dame's on ball, they're blitzing him. When he's off ball, they're mostly switching. So you need to try and get him catch-and-shoot looks off of screen to get him higher or better quality look. The blitz has completely shut him down. It works for Denver, and it's working for Golden State to an even better degree because they're a better defensive team. McCollum can create it on his own. I think that he just missed shots last night. But they need to do a better job of getting these guys on the move, and that means taking the ball out of their hands a little bit.
Before I let you go, Matt, I'll ask a weird question about a weird bench guy. How about this Kayvon Looney story? 14 points last night, 29 minutes. What do you make of how they're using him and how he's playing?
You know, he's been great. I think that he's, you know, he sets great screens. He plays really hard. He does all the dirty work that they need somebody to do. He finishes the lob. The biggest thing with him versus, you know, versus somebody like DeMarcus Cousins is that Looney only kind of does what he's needed to do. Like, he just doesn't have to do everything else. He hits the lob and he makes the right plays, and that's really useful for them. He's been a huge part of their success, and he's going to keep getting minutes even if he comes back.
That is Matt Moore. Check out the Action Network. Download that free app today as the NBA playoffs continue. He's at HP Basketball on Twitter. Always great stuff. Matt, have a great weekend, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Great stuff. Matt Moore, the Action Network. As we get ready for Eastern Conference Finals Game 2 tonight, let's see if Toronto can finish the job. Can they play Milwaukee like that again? Because they looked really good in Game 1. They just couldn't close the door. 7:30 TNT tonight with the Eastern Conference Finals. Coming up, we will get you the big three, not only the Eastern Conference Finals, but we'll talk about the rest of the NBA, update the Kevin Durant story, and we'll update the Longhorn baseball story. It came to a thud of an ending when it comes to the Big 12 tournament. We'll check in with Craig Way at Dish Falk Field and see if this team's got anything left emotionally for one more game, because apparently they've still scheduled one more game, and is this team going to be ready to play it? We'll talk about that. We're at AVP, the Austin Open, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Get out here for those matches. They start at 8 o'clock. Our man that we interviewed, Tim Field? Tim Field is not his name. What's his name?
Troy Field.
Troy Field, thank you. What kind of good names, right? Troy Field and his partner, they're going to be out there at 8. Mr. Dahlhauser and Lucina, they're going to be on court at 9:30 here on the main court. Is that right?
Stadium court, yes,
Stadium court, Dahlhauser and Lucina at 9:30 in the morning if you want to come out and check it out. We're at Craig Fields. Come on out and see us. Definitely get out here this weekend. Great event. Free admission all weekend long. So come on out and check out the AVP Austin Open. More coming up on the Horn. Rolling through a Friday, we're here at the AVP Austin Open. All right, I feel like this is the cover Brian was telling me about. Brian, is this the cover you were telling me about?
Well, it's not technically a cover, because that is Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, but it's not the album version. It's from No Quarter, that album they did together in the 90s.
Okay. No Quarter is a good record. There's some good stuff on there. So the
I
cover
saw them at the old Boston
about.
Garden for this tour.
Wow, that's very cool. So the cover that you've told me about is still to come?
Well, I think I misspoke, and it also got built up way too much.
Okay, all right. Well, that's all right. It's okay. You know me. I'll fall for a musical trap. All right, so shout out to Jimmy and Robert and Led Zeppelin and all that good stuff. We have Birthday in the Who this weekend with Pete Townsend. Happy birthday to George Strait tomorrow, and Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails' birthday today. Trent Reznor's 54, which just makes me feel old, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's go to the Big Three. We'll talk about what happened to the Longhorns today, and yeesh, it ain't good. Here we go.
The Big Three.
The Big Three is brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty. Any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
Before we talk Texas baseball, a reminder, NBA tonight is Eastern Conference Finals Game 2. Toronto at Milwaukee, 7:30 on TNT. Golden State, of course, wins last night. We hit a lot of that. Kevin Durant injury continues to be, as they say, more serious than they thought. He definitely won't play Games 3 and 4 of this particular series. In Major League Baseball, you got the Rangers and Astros starting series tonight. A little bit of a lesser series in Arlington, with all due respect to the Rangers. St. Louis and Texas there, 7:05 with Miles Mikolas and Jose Leclerc. I'm a little confused, Trey. Why is Jose Leclerc starting that game? Did I see that right?
you. There's no way you saw
you see that,
right?
Wrong? Okay, good. Just checking.
There is no freaking way Jose LeClerc.
Joe says thumbs up. They're going with an opener tonight. Double check me on that. Double check me on LeClerc there. The big series is Houston at Boston. That's Garrett Cole tonight against Rick Porcello, and they crank it up at 6:10.
This was one of my worries, Chad. With
am I right
Woodward
on this?
Coming over from the Dodgers, we're starting to overthink these things. And yes, apparently LeClerc is going to work the first inning as an opener for the Texas Rangers. Now, I guess the flip side to this conversation is they don't have enough viable arms to go with an actual starter, so they've got to patchwork some things together until some of those younger arms in the minor leagues are ready to actually chew up major league innings. But I am not crazy about this idea right now. Jose LeClerc is trying to get some things right between the ears. I don't know if putting him in as the first guy to go in a game is the way to do that.
Yeah, that's apparently going to happen tonight. Rangers fans, maybe check that one out. See, let's see how that one goes. Also today, Texas baseball lose last night 4-2, so they had to win the last two games of this series with Oklahoma to go to the Big 12 tournament. Well, they're not going to do that. Oklahoma beat them 13-0 today. In fact, they run ruled them. So this is, if you listen to the game, you heard Craig explain it to you, but on travel days in the Big 12, anytime a team's got to travel, which with the doubleheader, OU's got to travel today, then they have the run rule, seven-inning rule, if it's 10 or more. So 13-0 Oklahoma. And I think we are going to jump in with Craig here in a second. Brian, do we have Craig ready to go, or can we check on Craig Way and see if he's ready? Let's double-check maybe with Craig. I think we're going to check in with – yeah, he's good, ready to go. All right. Mr. Way, wow, what a day at the dish. Before we talk about today, let me take you back to last night. How big a deal do you think it ended up being, the Bryce Elder situation with the two balks and that wild pitch? Is that part of what ended up, I don't know, throwing them off or really getting things coming undone?
Yeah, it is, Chad. And not only was it a thing that had Bryce Elder come undone last night, there were similar things that helped Blair Henley come undone today, mainly walks and defense behind them, errors and walks. We've talked about it during the course of the season. It's hurt him. And Roger asked, Roger Wallace asked David Pierce in the post game about Blair. Was there something that you saw early with Blair Henley and you knew because he just wasn't on? He only lasted an inning and a third today. And he said no, other than the fact it's been almost 2 weeks. And you don't know what the answer is for that. I mean, you got final exams. You have no choice. That, you know, by rule, by university rule, they're not allowed to play a game unless it's an NCAA, you know, postseason contest. You can't play like a conference game when you're in the middle of final exams. Can't do it. So you wind up basically being shut down for almost a couple of weeks or 12 days or whatever. You do your work on the side. You get simulated games and all that sort of stuff. But as we know, it's not the same thing as a game. And I think it affected both Bryce Elder and Blair Henley in their starts last night and today. I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, this is so strange. Also, just so rare, too, to see a starter, much less the Friday starter like that, in May get called for two balks. Not to get too technical here, but did you agree with both of those calls? I rewatched both of them over and over again, and I guess I see what happened there. Is that something he's had an issue with? That's only, is it four for the season, but two in a game just was so strange. Is that something that he's been working on?
No, he'd had a grand total of two, as you mentioned, Chad. I think one of them, I could be wrong, I'd have to go back and look at it. I think one of them was in the season opener in Lafayette. I mean, it had been a while. He was completely stunned. He didn't know what they, and you know, the only way I can put it, and I've talked to Keith Moreland about this before, is different umpires look at things a little different. There is a balk rule, obviously, and there is that 45-degree plane, and then he was called for not coming to a complete stop and hands break and stuff like that. Umpires look for the most subtle of movements. Some do. Others do not. This particular crew, I can tell you, hasn't seen the Longhorns that much this year. And maybe once or twice, especially the umpires who were calling them. And it called the two balks. So you add that into the mix. I'm not blaming them for that. I'm just saying that, you might not know all of the nuanced movement, if you will, from a pitcher that might lead one umpire to see it as a balk and another to not. So I'm not sure what he is. And I'm not good at being able to detect a balk move anyway. But I know this. I know Bryce Elder was thrown off by it for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Craig, obviously the exasperation from last night is very evident in your voice and the voices, the collective voices of Longhorn fans. Very frustrating, but it was still a hard-fought affair. And even though Texas controlled its own destiny, if they were able to sweep OU starting yesterday, that didn't happen, they still could have won two of three and have things shake out in their advantage to make the Big 12 tournament. Are you shocked at all at how things went this afternoon with the second of these three games against the Sooners?
A little bit, yeah. And I don't think if somebody's asking me if they mailed it in or anything like that, no, I think the answer to that is no. But I've heard Bucky Godbolt use this term before, and I think it might apply here. He said a lot of times teams don't give up, but they might give in a little. And once Oklahoma had jumped to the 5-0 lead, then maybe there was a deflation or so. And whether you say that's the case or not, the other thing that comes to mind, when you think about it, Trey, is the fact that the guys who came in afterwards to pitch have had struggles this year. And quite frankly, they continued to struggle. And at some point, you got another game you got to play as well. That's why we saw Brandon Ivey throw a career high for him in terms of innings at that point, because David Pierce was trying to save something. But at that point, the horse is out of the barn. The game's out of reach at that point. So he didn't want to burn everything, and so that's why there were some runs tacked on late. Offensively has been the biggest head-scratcher out of this whole deal. And I think, folks, if they listen to the pregame, my conversation with David Pierce, we just did it a few minutes ago to talk our final pregame of the season, oddly enough, and we talked about the word evaluation, and it can go a lot of different ways about how he evaluates this season, this team, himself, the coaching staff, and everything that went into the fact that this team, for the first time this year, is below 500, and they're going to be fighting in a game that will have nothing to do with the rest of the season other than to end it, but it could at least help them avoid a losing record, and they would finish 27-27 if they were able to get the win. So maybe there's something to play for. Seniors will be recognized. There's a little bit of military appreciation that'll happen as well. So there are some things. And, oh, by the way, how about some pride in facing Oklahoma? So in visiting with Coach Pierce, I was getting ready to come back upstairs, and he thanked me, and said, all right, hey, thanks, and we're off air, and he said, I'm going to go in here. We've got a meeting with our seniors and seeing if these guys really want to play, if they give a damn, basically, is what he said.
That's what I've been thinking about, Craig, ever since that final. The way they lose today, I mean, if I'm a Texas fan, the biggest worry I would have about this evening is you could get double run ruled to end the season at the hands of OU if you're not careful. And I think that's a great way for him to look at it. But now it's where coaching becomes coaching, right? You got to figure out a way to make those guys care. Otherwise, they could be staring at another one of these. I mean, if they really let go of the rope totally, then it could happen again.
I like what you say there, Chad, about double run ruled. Maybe in the clubhouse meeting there, Coach Pierce put on the tape from Animal House, and you just see Dean Wormer saying, laugh now, but you guys are on double secret probation.
Double.
You know?
Yeah, right.
That would be really
embarrassing. You know, if you play 14 innings today and you get beat by 10 or more twice and it's OU that does it, that's gonna stink going into a weekend and going into an off season.
Yeah, I have a feeling we will see a mixture. I think we'll see seniors out there playing in their last game. I think we're going to see some young guys. We know we're going to see a young guy on the mound. Ty Madden has been better in the second half of the season, so he's a freshman. We'll see what he's got in him, and I don't know how long ago, but we haven't seen the rest of those guys that could pitch out of the pen that we have been seeing other than Tristan Stevens for an inning last night. So Cam Fields and Cole Quintanilla, we could see them some more. So, yeah, there's still something to come. There's still something, I think, to play for. And, like I said, a chance to not finish with a losing record, a chance to beat Oklahoma, to win one game out of that and just finish the season with something positive before you get into what will be a long and evaluative offseason.
Craig, I know that Tate Shaw and Mason Hibbler are seniors. You expect them to get that one final start tonight. Who else can Longhorn fans expect to see playing their final game tonight at the Dish?
Yeah, the five seniors, Trey, Will definitely be recognized. Mateo Boeke, and I don't know if Boeke will pitch since he pitched last night, but Boeke, Hibbler, obviously, Tate Shaw, Brandon Ivey, who I just mentioned, and Michael McCann, those five seniors. Also, Donnie Diaz, who's a redshirted junior, I think is also going to take his place with them. Now, in terms of guys who are juniors, not seniors, who will not be in the senior night recognition, but who may be playing their final game, Ryan Reynolds, I think, would be one of those guys that you could look at and say, here's a guy who's probably about to suit up for the last time as a Longhorn. So, I don't know about some of the other guys, but I think Ryan might
be one of those guys. Is Duke Ellis a possibility?
I have a feeling Duke will be coming back.
Okay.
I have a feeling he will. And some of that is it just depends on the draft, you know. How high do you go? Where might you go? You know, those kinds of things. Austin Todd. Same type of thing. So I have a feeling both of those guys will be back, but you don't know, obviously. You'll have to wait and see how the draft rolls out before those draft-eligible guys, Zach Zuby is another one, you know, make a decision. Zach is a redshirted sophomore, so he would be draft-eligible.
Oh, that's right.
We'll see. You know, the draft will have a lot to say about that, obviously.
And, of course, no matter what happens tonight, Craig Way's going to call it for you. That is Craig, of course, the voice of the Longhorns, live at Dish Falk Field, 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch, Texas and Oklahoma, the last game of the year. Craig, we appreciate it as always, man, and we'll be listening.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
Thanks, Craig.
6:15 on that pregame. Thanks to Craig for his time. Had to be a tough one from the Longhorn perspective to call this afternoon. 13-0 Oklahoma lays it on Texas. We'll see if the Longhorns are ready to play. And I'm glad there's at least the realistic idea in David Pierce's head. However he's going to phrase it to the team, that is probably the way you need to think about it. Do you care? Maybe that is what you need to say to the team. Do you care? Do you give a damn? Or are we about to get busted up by Oklahoma two games in a row? We'll find out if they've got some guts tonight.
Yeah, it's a thankless situation that this team finds itself in right now. So David Pierce does need to find guys who have enough pride to want to go out there and avoid a sweep at the hands of your rival for that final game of the year, because a 500 record is on the line, too, and 500 does feel a lot better than two games below 500.
That is true. All right, coming up, we will check voicemails. If you want to slip one in, 337-3776. Crap bag coming up. Little shout-out to the ladies, but also we'll tell you where Suplex Stew is going to be this weekend, doing a little Hall of Fame action. Also, real quick, from the PGA Championship, it's going to be about Koepka this weekend. It may be a little bit about Jordan Spieth. It won't be about Tiger, though. Tiger missed the cut. We told you he was in danger, but Tiger has officially missed the cut at the PGA. So we'll get you one more scoreboard check on that, but Tiger is out of the tournament for the weekend. Coming up, we'll get you a little crap bag and voicemails. We're at AVP, the Austin Open, over here at Craig Fields tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Dahlhauser and Lucena play at 9:30 on the stadium court, so get out here nice and early in the morning. Should be some great weather, and it should definitely be some great volleyball. This is The Horn.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
Hope you're having a good Friday. Now, I know this is a cover. Unless I don't know what Ringo Starr sounds like, this is definitely a cover. I just got to figure out who it is. All right, Brian, I'm going to go with, I don't know, Taj Mahal.
Easy Star All-Stars.
Easy Star All-Stars. All right.
They do the whole album.
That's very cool. Oh, really?
Yeah, they call it Dubstar of the Moon, or what is it? What do they call it? Easy Star's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Nice. The whole album. That's cool. All right. By the way, have you guys heard about this movie coming out about the Beatles called Yesterday?
Yeah, I look forward to that.
Are you messing with me right now?
No. It's bizarre. Okay. It's a bizarre idea. The idea is that a guy is the only person on the planet who remembers the Beatles. Nobody else does.
Yeah.
It's like the music didn't exist except for him. So he starts to perform their music and becomes a massive star, but then at some point along the way feels bad about it because he knows it's not his.
Hey, you know what? If nobody else gets it, that's all you, brother.
You just keep going, right?
Yeah.
That'd be tough, man. You know, deep down you're a fraud, but nobody else knows you're a fraud.
Are you a fraud, or are you bringing the people something special?
Maybe. There's the dilemma.
It's an endless supply also.
There's the dilemma that you've created. I like that. All right. Let's get you a little crap bag here on a Friday.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Couple of cleanup items. Tiger ends up plus +5 at the PGA. He misses the cut. Koepka shoots a 65 today, so he's at minus -12, and that's 7 shots clear of Jordan Spieth. Spieth had a great day. Nice 66 to put himself in contention, but he's still 7 shots back. Adam Scott is also 7 shots back going into the third round.
So, Chad, that seems like a pretty good score that Brooks Koepka has put up through 36 holes of golf, right?
Not bad.
According to Sports Illustrated, Brooks Koepka's 128 at the PGA Championship over the last 2 days is the lowest 36-hole score in the 159-year history of professional major championship golf.
Nobody's ever done it in a major?
It's not just good. It's the best ever.
Wow.
36 holes.
Good for him. How about that? That'll give you chills, golf fans. How about that, Brooks Koepka? That's awesome. I hope he can finish it off. He would be then a back-to-back U.S. Open champion, a back-to-back PGA, and he'd be going for 3 in a row at the U.S. Open. Unbelievable stuff there. All right, quick crap bag stuff. First off, shout out to our guy Suplex Stu. Stu and Justin are headed to Wichita Falls to the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. They are the official podcast of the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Wichita Falls. You can they're doing streaming broadcast this weekend. Stu is at Stu Myrick on Twitter. You can also go to at SGTWATX on Twitter, but you can find the links there. But last year they got to interview all kinds of cool people. Among others, Abdullah the Butcher is going in to the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. So shout out to Stu and Justin for that.
What was Abdullah the Butcher shtick?
Well, one of the main things we know about Abdullah the Butcher is he did the whole cut to the forehead so many times that now the legend was that when you played poker and cards with him, he could put a poker chip in the scars of his forehead. That was one of his claims to fame.
Gross.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
That's a little bit more dedicated to the craft than I think I am.
Yeah, exactly. So check those guys out this weekend. Of course, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling's on Wednesday nights. Fight Night is before that at 7. And a shout-out to the Fight Night guys as they were previewing this weekend's UFC. You got UFC in Rochester with Rafael Dos Anjos and Kevin Lee. That is tomorrow night. ESPN Plus, 7 o'clock on the main card. But ESPN Plus, if I'm paying for it, give me the language. I rewatched a fight today. Matt Serra was in somebody's corner screaming, and he swore, and then you edited it. Why are you editing it? I'm paying you. I am paying you for a service. You should give me all the language.
Funny to me that a major network like that, that is already having to work behind the eight ball in terms of having to censor itself for the regular platform it's on, does not take advantage of something like that. That is such an obvious move for me, and a lot of corporate America still makes that mistake, in my opinion.
And one other quick thing from the crap bag. I watched something today. ESPN has a special out right now on the 99 World Cup women's soccer team called the 99ers Reunited. It was a really good show going back to 99. Hard to believe we're coming up on 20 years since that summer, but I remember it vividly. I had met my now wife, and we were watching it on this old futon of mine, and I can still remember throwing my arms up in the air when Chastain hit that kick. It was so cool. They were talking about how far it progressed in sports, so some of the still there. A reminder to me that cool athletes are cool athletes. They're not men. They're not women. When I was a kid, I loved a lot of women's tennis players, Martina and Chrissy and Gabriella Sabatini and all that. That soccer team hopefully reminded a lot of us that badass athletes are just that. They're badass athletes. It's not when you stand up in front of somebody and say, I never, ever want to watch a woman compete at this particular sport, I think you're door there that you don't need to close. Don't tell me you hate women's soccer. You can say you don't like soccer, but don't tell me it changes when a woman plays it versus a man plays it. That doesn't make any sense to me. And shout out to that 99 women's soccer team. I still get, for some reason, when I watch them, I'll still get emotional thinking about it. Everything they did, setting that record in the Rose Bowl, 90,000 people or whatever it was. So check that out if you want on ESPN, the 99ers reunited. They get all the big dogs together, Chastain and Foudy and Mia Hamm. It was pretty cool.
I can't say I have one of those where were you moments with U.S. women's soccer. I mean, I certainly remember that particular moment because of the uproar that was caused by the shirt coming off. Yeah. But in all the soccer that I've watched in my life, which is probably a grand total of about 35 minutes and maybe split pretty evenly between men and women, I do not have that moment, Chad.
Yeah, see, and soccer's not a sport that really matters that much to me, but it is one of those moments. It was a moment where soccer mattered to me, and there aren't that many of them in my life. But that one, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, my threshold for watching soccer right now, and I know this isn't a popular opinion, it's a worldwide sport. Guess what? You are the ones who are popular. Don't be upset with me saying this right now. My threshold for watching soccer is the World Cup every 4 years.
Right.
That's where it begins and ends for me.
Yeah.
World Cup.
Yeah, you are not alone there. There are a lot of people like that. There are also a lot of people that have adopted it, and they'll watch it in all kinds of forms. So whatever you like or don't like, go ahead and do that. Do you. Be you. Do whatever you love.
You do you.
You do you. As long as you're not messing with people or committing crimes, do what you need to do. 6 o'clock hour coming up. It'll be pretty short because of Texas baseball. 6:15 pregame. Get you one more recap on the PGA where Tiger Woods missed the cut today. We'll give you those details coming right up and get you set up one more time for the AVP Austin Open out here at Craig Fields. This is The Horn.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
With the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports. The Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com.
Afternoon delight.
All right, how about hour number 4 on a Friday? It will not last near that long. Texas pregame is 6:15, 6:30 first pitch. Texas and Oklahoma, and the big question is just going to be, how interested are the Longhorns in this game? Oklahoma beat them 13-0 earlier today. 7 innings, run ruled them because this is a travel day in the Big 12 because of weather tomorrow, doubleheader today. So if they don't watch it, is something like that going to happen to them again, or are the Longhorns going to get a little bit of maybe fire about them for this last game? Craig Way mentioned last hour they are going to, you know, pay tribute to the seniors and give them their due and everything, but it's got to be a weird atmosphere at Dish Falk Field. I'm Chad Hastings, Trey Elling alongside Kevin Dunn, still on vacation till late next week. And thanks to the folks out here at the AVP event, AVP Austin Open, bigger and bigger crowds each and every year. That parking lot was packed when I pulled up. This stadium court area was really packed earlier. Things are starting to shut down at this point. But remember, tomorrow at 8 in the morning is when they crank it up. And Trey, I messed up on the Dahlhauser-Lucina match. 9:15?
9:15 in the stadium court. Okay. Go out and see friend of the show, Troy Field, and his partner, Tim. They are playing on court 1 at 8 a.m. And court 1 is the set of 4 courts. Court 1, I believe, is the court closest to the parking lot. So root those guys on and come out and just have yourself a blast this weekend. It's a very family-friendly event. Looks like it's dog-friendly as well. Saw some people out here with their dogs, too. There are lots of food and beverages to be had, so you don't have to worry about packing anything. Really cool setup for the kids as well. If they're looking to break away from the games themselves, it's a great area for the kids to enjoy themselves. You can take the plunge off of like a 20-foot drop onto this giant cushion to feel what it's like to actually have some hops. So there's a lot of cool stuff out here for the people.
Come feel like you have a vertical.
We should have done that, Chad, because
I didn't know it was there.
It legit is like a 15 to 20 foot drop, and it looks like a lot of fun. You get to go stuntman for a second.
By the way, you mentioned the dogs. It is very dog friendly out here today, and I want to give special shout out to a woman I saw today working an incredible dog double today. She had a big dog and a little dog together.
Be careful with the dog double.
Is that not what it's called? I'm sorry.
I don't know, duo? Man. It just sounds a little bit.
Okay.
A
duo of dogs.
All right.
She had this big, like, St. Bernard sized dog, but it was red and white. So it was like a St. Bernard size, but it was like the coloring of a Brittany. And then the other dog was a French bulldog, like a little French dog puppy that might have been 8 inches long.
Oh.
And you could have set, like, five of them on the back of the big dog, and she's just walking around with both of them. Fantastic.
Good for her.
Fantastic.
There was a dog up at the stadium court in the stands, and this dog was, like, laid out next to the front row of stands, and you had to walk past this dog to get to the rest of the seats. And this dog was, it looked like something along the lines of a rot, but a really large rot. Like, it looked like the dog was probably 130, 140 pounds and looked like a rot. So the dog itself was very intimidating looking, but it was a total sweetheart. People were walking by.
That's
wasn't
awesome.
Even flinching.
Good stuff. All right, before we get out of here real quick, Tiger Woods missed the cut at the PGA Championship, so no Grand Slam this year in golf. Somebody else is gonna win this tournament. Tiger was at +5. Brooks Koepka, Trey mentioned it, is unbelievable. Brooks Koepka has the best 2-day start at a major ever.
Yeah, that's somebody else's Brooks Koepka. Let me go ahead and bust the bubble right now.
Gonna
go ahead and spoiler alert you. Brooks Koepka is winning the PGA Championship this
weekend.
Oh,
man. -12 after 2 days is the best anybody's ever done. So congrats to Brooks for that. Let's see if he can finish it off. Also, Trey, I think we need to let people know that the Lakers have officially decided they're not hiring a president of basketball ops to replace Magic Johnson, because why would you need a president of basketball ops for the Los Angeles Lakers? It's just useless. You don't need that.
Yeah, vying with the New York Jets for the biggest dumpster fire organization through the first half of 2019. Good work, guys.
That is awful. All right, let's go one last thing before we get out of here.
One last thing.
Pittman! All right, Trey, hit me with some Eastern Conference Finals. Toronto and Milwaukee. Can Toronto steal one tonight?
They can. I don't think they do, though. And sadly, I don't think we get much in the way of competition out of either of these conference finals series. I think the best we can hope for is one of these two series going six games, but I'm starting to get the feeling that neither goes past five.
Neither goes past five.
And that includes Toronto losing tonight to Milwaukee. They'll put forth a better effort than they did in game one, because they will have their legs underneath them in the fourth quarter, unlike game one.
Kevin Durant out of the Western Conference Finals all the way through, no matter what?
Not coming back in the Western Conference Finals. Would love to see him in the NBA Finals. Even then, I'm not sure how realistic that is. Expect him to miss the first couple of games in that round, assuming Golden State makes it there.
All right. Coming up on Monday, we will get a recap of the PGA Championship for you. And we'll get our guy back on. We had on this week that get it reviewed for us. So that will happen. What's my man's name? Why can't I find my guy? There's Scott Rude. Scott Rude back on from the Believe Podcast Network. That's 4:05 on Monday to review the PGA Championship. Enjoy that. Enjoy all your stuff this weekend. Get on out here to ABP, the Austin Open, tomorrow at 8 a.m. Dahlhauser and Nick Lucena are on the stadium court at 9:15. Free admission. Have some fun. Definitely visit this outdoor bar area, too. Pretty tasty stuff going on there as well. Everybody have a great weekend. Texas baseball coming up. We'll see if they want to play one more. Working an incredible dog double today.
Man, you're chucking, Joaquin.